Lord God in heaven, you are certainly worthy of our praise. And so we come to glorify you, first of all, this evening. And yet you have also invited us to come to be filled by you. We trust your promise that you will do so. We gather then in your name, praising you for the gifts of the past and asking you for the gifts that we need to carry on, carry through with this life, to be carried into that which follows. Hear us, receive our praise, and fill us with your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This evening, to begin, we follow the order of service, a service of the word printed beginning on page 22 in the forepart of the supplement. Our God promised to be with us when even two or three are gathered in his name, so it is fitting to begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our transgressions and pray you of your bountiful mercy to be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Renew us by your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need in the peace of forgiveness. Let us praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading for this second midweek Advent service is found printed in your service bulletin, Ephesians 5, the first 16 verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise. We respond by confessing together our Christian faith as expressed in the words of the Christmas Creed found printed in our service bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who sent his Son to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth his praises, and will one day live and reign with him in all eternity. Amen. Grace, mercy, peace be yours in Christ Jesus, the Savior who came and who will come again. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, during our midweek Advent services this evening, it's our intention to direct our meditations around the theme, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. In examining light itself, we find out something about our Savior. It's our Savior himself who drew that comparison between himself and light. So in studying light, looking at what it is, what it does, we're to learn something about our Savior, applying the properties there to an ever greater degree to Christ himself. This evening, however, we will attempt to learn more about light and thus about our Lord by talking about what it is not, or its enemy, its antithesis, its opposite. And in learning something about what light does to its opposite, we will, by God's grace, order our meditation around the sub-theme, Jesus Christ, light of the world, dispeller of darkness. The text that will guide us is again found in John, as are all three of our midweek sermon texts. John 1, this evening, verses 4 through 5, and then 10 through 13. In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Better translation of that word overcome would be comprehended, mastered it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are the holy words of our God, perfect in every way. These words truly are a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. With the confidence that the Holy Spirit, who has already been at work in each one of us, bringing us to faith in keeping us in that faith, would also work this evening just as powerfully through these words and their study. So we pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Just by way of a quick review, last week you may recall that we looked at what light is, some of its marvels and complexities, not that we came to understand exactly what it is, but we can get to a point where we can realize that we don't fully understand it, that we can kind of maybe describe it, but we can't fully grasp it. And the idea was then to extrapolate that or take those circumstances and apply them to Jesus and to recognize that he, even in a far greater way, is beyond our ability to fathom, to grasp, to wrap our arms fully around him. We know him for what he is, our Savior, but there's much more to Christ than we can master. And the fact that this individual who created light, the light creator, came to earth and was made subject to the laws of his own creation, it's absolutely spectacular. And then when you realize that he did this because we couldn't do anything to save ourselves, to bring ourselves out of this darkness, all the more amazing. This evening we seek to learn more about Jesus, the light of the world, by examining again the benefits of what that light accomplishes, what it does. And again, we find that as we examine physical light, we need to learn to apply this in an even more, again, sublime spiritual way to our Savior. Now, to begin understanding how important life is, I don't know that we can do this. And that's why I've talked to you about this before, but it was such a powerful thing. I don't know that unless you've experienced not just the absence of light, not just go into a dark room without a window and turn the light off and block out all light, but I mean a total absence of light unexpectedly. Unless you've experienced that, I don't know that you're going to be able to fully grasp what not just this text, not just what John is talking about here, but various texts throughout the Bible when they talk about light and darkness and Jesus and evil. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get that as we should. If you've ever been there, if you've ever experienced a time where maybe you're sleeping and you suddenly awaken in a total absence of any light, and city folk don't know what that's about. We don't get that because there's always a little bit of light filtering in from the street lights or from a yard light out in the country or the glow from your clock or the keypad on the microwave, or there's always just a little bit of light filtering in. But if you ever could get to that place where you are startled into opening your eyes and you see nothing different, and you experience the disorientation, and you can't remember where you are, and you don't remember the circumstances, and then, if you're a normal human being, panic starts to set in because of that disorientation and confusion. That's the kind of darkness that we want to think about. This is what we're going to talk about. And even more so, to recognize in that context how just that tiny little penlight, when you turn it on, that tiny little shaft of light instantly dispels all. You're instantly oriented. You instantly remember, oh yeah, that's where I am. I'm in, fill in the blank. You realize you're not dead. You realize you haven't been struck blind. Suddenly everything is sort of turned right again and you're calmed instantly. And you can see what's around. Everything's all of a sudden good again. If you've never experienced that, especially that confusion, disorientation, all of this might sound a little dramatic. It really isn't when you're there. I mean, even if you're not afraid of the dark, I remember one general saying, I'm not afraid of the dark, but it's the things in the dark that sometimes worry me. Even if that's not it, just this disorientation where you can't get your mind together, you can't wrap it around or get it to, okay, what's going on? Where am I? In fact, sometimes the orientation, disorientation is so bad, you're not even sure what's up or down or where you are. That's where you need to get this evening. If we're going to even to begin to look at this sub-theme, Jesus Christ, light of the world, dispeller of darkness. Pretty safe to say again that most of us don't get this the way the Bible described it, because it's foreign to us. You and I are blessed to live in a time where there's almost always some light filtering in. Again, street lights, keypads, whatever. We can just reach over and with a swipe of our phone, light. But when the Bible was written, Old and New Testament, it wasn't that way. If they found themselves in a moonless, starless, overcast, black as night makes no sense, a pitch black evening, and they awakened in the night, if their fire had gone out, they had nothing. They just sat there. And if they felt disoriented, or if they felt a certain panic or alarm or confusion, they just sat there. And they had nothing they could do but wait for God's light to rise in the east. I don't think we get that because something like Psalm 103 or 130, the first six verses, don't really resonate with us as they probably did back then. Now listen to this psalm again as I read the first six verses here, and think of it with this in mind, this idea of blackness that cannot be compensated for, that cannot be destroyed because they do not have a light source. They don't have a flashlight. They don't have even a match to strike or a candlelight. They have nothing. And it's in that context that the psalmist here writes as follows. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. We don't really get it unless we see it from their perspective, do we? This helplessness of the darkness that surrounded them, that enveloped their world, that they could not penetrate, that they could not drive away from themselves, and they had nothing that they could do. But wait, in that case, obviously for God's solution, for that first bit of light to show up in the east. Hopefully it's not hard for us at this point to make that transition from the physical to the spiritual. Hopefully you've already been doing that. Because that's what this is all about. That's what Christ was all about. The transformation from physical darkness to spiritual darkness isn't, of course, difficult. But we have to do that if we're going to get what we're supposed to out of this reading in particular, out of our text for this evening. And this whole concept of Jesus, the light of the world, and darkness that he came to dispel. Listen to Paul, what he said in Acts. God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Acts 17, this is, and if you remember, if you can kind of place it in the book of Acts, he's on Mars Hill, and he's trying to talk to people that weren't Christian and try to reach out to them and apply this to them and find them where they're at and talk to them about Jesus on that basis. And God has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. See, this spiritual darkness is like physical darkness on a much grander and a much more profound scale. And that's why, again, we miss out if we haven't experienced that physical darkness, because that spiritual darkness is like that, only worse. Meaning, the disorientation is complete, spiritually. Not sure what's even up or down, right or wrong, good or evil. And those are the kind of people that we obviously want to reach with this light, to shine that light that we have into their world, because they can't discern. They think they know, they grope about, and they come to something in the dark and they think they found something, but they can't really identify it. Even in the spiritual realm, they try to do that. They try to grope around to find God, and they try introspection. Let's look on the inside. Let's meditate. There's a whole world of religions known generally as Eastern mysticism, where this is the whole heart and soul of their religion. You look inside. You grope about in that darkness that is inside of you until you find that light. And when you find that light, you grab hold of it, and that is your faith. That is your God. Here's the problem. If man is going to look inside to try to find his spiritual solutions, Satan sees in the dark. The devil knows exactly what he's doing, and he's more than happy to wordlessly, soundlessly put ideas in front of you that you are then more than happy to find in the dark, And then you believe that you found something spectacular, something meaningful, something deep and spiritual. Because you're in the dark, you've got nothing else, you find this. And again, you think you've found something. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of the little girl, the nearsighted little girl who finds that little kitty and brings it into mom and shows her the little kitty she's found and asks if she could keep it, this sweet black little kitty with the white stripe on its back. You cannot, on your own, no human being cannot, on his own, find the truth in that darkness, that spiritual darkness in which we all naturally found ourselves. We could not get a sense of the panic that should be ours in that scenario, that should have been, should be even now if we throw away this light we've been given. It's not maybe. Maybe you can find your way. You cannot. The problem then goes even deeper. It's not just that mankind then, when blanketed in spiritual darkness, have a difficult time finding out what's good and what's not good. The problem is, even when he comes across that which is true, he can't believe it as true. He's incapable of finding it on his own and evaluating it rightly in the darkness of his godliness, of his unbelief. It's again something equivalent to a man groping about in a cave on his hands and knees in utter blackness and finding a huge uncut diamond worth millions of dollars and discarding it as yet another rock. Can't identify the path to heaven. This is the thing mentioned by John in our text for this evening. This is the scenario. He wants to project us into that impossible blackness of unbelief. And then in that context, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and then tragically, the darkness did not comprehend it. Remember that little pen light in that inky blackness that suddenly cleared everything up? In an instant, that little bit of light. Jesus came into this sin-darkened, impossibly recalcitrant, stubborn, unbelieving world. And with that light, those that saw that light, everything became clear to them. Everything became visible. That which before, when they groped about in darkness, had seemed right to them, suddenly everything was seen and they understood and they believed. And the terror was gone. The confusion was gone. No longer were they confused about what's right or wrong. No longer did they have to grope about and say, well, if it feels good to me, then it must be good. Then they could go to that light and hear him say what he said in our reading for this evening. You don't want to do these things. This is the sort of thing that shouldn't be even named among you. It doesn't really matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter if it feels good to your sinful flesh. It's wrong. Therefore, you can have no doubt about whether or not it's something that you want to do or not do, according to that new man in you. John goes on in our text, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. To just cry on the inside at the tragedy of this, don't make it just people out there. Make it somebody you know. Somebody that you know, or as much as you can know, professes to be in the darkness and happy there. For them there is no hope unless that light of Christ is shown into their lives. I wonder if you and I really appreciate the horror of that hopelessness. it's a blessing. You and I don't have to experience that because we don't have it. Our entire existence is permeated with the other world hope that is ours. Hope, again, biblically defined as confident expectation. So we're going towards something. We're not walking about in the dark until we bump into something, and then we try a different direction until we bump into something. We have a focus and direction so that we know when bad things happen, the best, obviously, is yet to come. The godless don't have that. From Isaiah 9:2, and this is directly to Jesus, the dispeller of darkness. This prophecy from Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness, all of us, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. I love it when we can find little things that we can grab from God's Word that pop up in our day-to-day life to remind us, to put us in a different frame of mind. You're in a crabby, bah humbug mood about all the stuff that we have to do during this busy season and all the people that have all confused, jumbled up what Christmas really is. And then you just look at something and are reminded. You look at the lights on your tree and you remember why Christians started that, to remind us that Christ is the light that's come into the world. And God, working through that little reminder, can just purge all the frustration and the anger and put you in that frame of mind that, again, Paul described in our epistle reading for this evening. This walk as children of light mind. This idea of we are no longer in the darkness, we have light in our lives, and we want to now shine that light into the darkness of others. Could you imagine somebody so cold that you'd want somebody in that panicky, pitch-black state of confusion and disorientation? How much less those who exist in that state spiritually, with no hope? That's why Jesus dedicated himself and why he over and over again talked about, you are the light of the world. You go and make disciples. You teach them. You let your light shine before men so that they may see what you do and glorify your Father who is in heaven, so they might have that light. And there is still a bit more. We are no different than the other blind pagans when confronted with the light of Christ. We weren't any different. We had no way of knowing or accepting. We were like those in our text. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But then he went on to say this, and we have to make sure we're clear on what he's talking about here. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, before we find any cause for self congratulations here. And again, there's a whole raft of people in Christianity who want to turn this into decision theology. Remember what that is, that I'm a Christian because I came to believe, I accepted Jesus as, and that's sort of what this sounds like. Well, the Holy Spirit is smarter than that, obviously. So he goes on here again, speaking through John, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Far from diminishing Christ and crediting man with anything good, this whole thing breathes glory to God in the highest. We had nothing but darkness spiritually. God shined, sent his Son to shine into our worlds with that holy light. We now get it. We are heirs of heaven. We can see from that word, it's a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. We can see where we're walking if we pay attention. If we let the word of God live, or the light of God's word shine in our lives, we can see then in the distance where we're going, and nothing, not hell, not anything out in that darkness can prevent that because Christ is the one who lights that path for us. So then take this with you. Every time you see a light at Christmas, remember, it's Christ. It's Christ who came into our world. And then use that to beat back the darkness, that evil that lingers also in you, that evil that would drag you back into that inky blackness as though that's somehow freer, hidden from. As again, our readings talk about hidden from the eyes of God. It's not. Personal possession is ours, those who believe in His name. This light is ours. Celebrate that light. Thank your God for it. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds in our light, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. We look forward with joyful hearts to the approaching celebration of your birth. Grateful that you came here as one of us to lay down your life as a ransom for sinners, for us. You are our God, our everlasting King. And yet, so that you might rule sinners like us with grace and forgiveness, you left your throne and appeared here in weakness, poverty, and humility, with perfect obedience. You kept the law for us, something we could not, would not do. In great anguish of soul, you bore then our sin for us to the cross, and in great suffering, which ended finally in your death, you were punished in our place. We praise and adore you, holy Jesus, for the precious gift of yourself, your very life for our salvation. Our Savior, we know that it is not the will of our Father that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, that all should be found in the light. Fill the world then with the gospel's light, the joyous sound that hearts everywhere may reach out by faith and believe through the working of your Holy Spirit, through the word also shared by us, that they might be brought into the light together with us. In your great love, prepare us day by day, moment by moment, for your coming. Help us to welcome you as you come to us in your word, which grants our salvation, and in your sacraments, which seals that forgiveness to us with your divine assurance. Make us ready through genuine repentance to welcome you when you come again, to be ready at all times. We confess that we have in countless ways and in countless times, we have been self-willed, turning back again and again to our sinful ways. And yet you have kept us, you have held us in your hand, you have carried us along. Keep our names always recorded in your book of life. Forgive, blot out our transgressions. Help us to see ourselves as willing servants of your gospel, so that with righteous lives, loving hearts, we will praise you as our Lord and Savior to others. To the glory of his name, we make these requests and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Turn, if you would, now to the service bulletin as we continue with the collect for peace. The Lord will bless his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Lord God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be prepared to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in peace and quietness. This we ask through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.